Hello, my name is Lawrence Wilson, and welcome to a video study through the book of Hebrews. We now enter Hebrews chapter 11, one of the most popular chapters in the entire Bible, let alone the book of Hebrews. But to make sure that we fully understand the context, let's remind ourselves how the author of Hebrews ended chapter 10. He said, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." And in this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, he gives an example of others who fall into that category, those who have faith and preserve their souls. Let us begin then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. He says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation." So he starts off here with a description of what exactly faith is, which is important because people probably have different ideas of what it means to have faith. So he explains, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's acting like the thing that you hope for is going to happen. He said it's the conviction of things not seen. It's living as though the thing that you haven't yet seen come to pass has already come to pass. It's acting with full confidence in the object of your faith that it is going to come through for you. Now, these Hebrew believers, once again, are wavering in their faith a little bit. They're wondering whether it's worth it to continue believing in Jesus, to continue living for Christ. And the author to Hebrews is trying to help them to see here, true faith means living as though what you were promised, what you are hoping for, has already happened. Even though, you know, we know that Jesus Christ has not yet made us complete, which is why we're living in difficult times in this world. Faith is acting as though you already have the thing that you are hoping for. Verse 3, he said, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." So it takes faith, he says, for example, for us to believe that God created the universe. Why? Because it's the conviction of things not seen. We haven't seen anything be created. No one has. In fact, even in the debate as to how the world got here, that people come up with ideas like a Big Bang or whether aliens brought life here from another planet, things like that, all of that is faith because no one was there to actually see it happen. So we just have to believe what has been given to us. And so as the Old Testament of the Bible tells us that God created the world out of nothing, we have to believe that by faith. Then we proceed to see a list of examples of people who expressed full faith in God and in one way or another were rewarded for it. Though, we're going to see, not all of them got maybe exactly what they were hoping for. Verse 4, he says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." So Abel brings God an offering because of his faith, because of his confidence that God will accept his offering, because of his confidence that God can offer him some semblance of salvation. And he was found that his offering was more acceptable than his brother Cain's, right? This is one of the first stories we see in the Bible in Genesis 4. That Cain's offering was rejected, Abel's was accepted. Here we get an explanation from the author of Hebrews that it was because Abel brought his offering by faith, and that even though his brother killed him, even though he has been dead for a long time, that testimony that has been spoken of him, we still have. Verse 5, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Now we have a description here of a guy named Enoch, who there's only a few verses in the rest of the Bible about, mostly in Genesis. chapter 5, we see that Enoch was walking with God, living his life with God, and got to the point to where the Bible just says God took him straight to heaven one day. He never died. He just went straight to heaven. God took him because of his relationship with God. And again, in Genesis, it doesn't clarify this, but the author of Hebrews clarifies that it was because of his faith that this happened. He put full hope and full confidence in God to save him, and he ended up not actually experiencing physical death. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So Noah, you know, God told him, I'm going to flood the entire earth. That's not something that had happened before. They hadn't even experienced rain yet, let alone rain that would cause an entire worldwide flood. That Noah just trusted God's word, built himself an ark, which actually ended up saving him and the rest of his family, because he put full trust in God that what he said was going to happen, even though he had not yet seen anything like it. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Right? So Abraham just leaves everything in his family and his nation behind and travels to a land that God says, I'll just show you the land when you get there, that this is where I'm taking you because I want to do something in your life. That takes a lot of faith for Abraham to just say, I have no idea what you're doing, God, where I'm going, why, but I'm trusting that what you are doing is something good. We see as we continue by faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, that would be his son and grandson, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So he lived as a stranger, a foreigner, in this land. It was not a comfortable place where he was with his own people when he started. It was a weird place, foreign land, out of his comfort zone. And he says he's living here in tents. They're traveling around. They never had a permanent residence, a permanent dwelling place, because he was looking for the city, right? As opposed to living in tents, a city, an established place that was built by God, even though he had not yet seen that. No one had seen anything like that. That was his hope. That was his expectation. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. So Sarah, Abraham's wife, gave birth at age 90, well past childbearing years. That this scripture tells us that was also because of her faith, her confidence in God, which is interesting to mention that, because when we go back and read the story in Genesis, she does not seem to have all that much confidence because she laughed when God told them that they were going to give birth to a child at 90 years old and Abraham at 100. But we understand again that by her faith, God was able to do something incredible here, so that now Abraham became the father of many descendants, even though, as it said here, he was as good as dead. That's how old he was. And yet God still was able to complete his promises to them. Now, we come to something very interesting here in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So all of these that we've just talked about so far, whether it be Abel or Enoch or Noah or Abraham or Sarah, he says, they all died in their faith, still believing what God was going to do, and yet not having fully seen what God had promised. Not having fully realized everything that God had promised to them. Yes, it was true that these great things were happening through them, but they did not see everything that God promised to them in their lifetime. This is important to the point the author of Hebrews is trying to make. He says, verse 14, "For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." None of these people got to experience living in the land that God promised in a stable condition where God's blessing was just raining down on them. Even though he had promised that these are things that he would bring about, they never got to experience that. But in a manner of speaking, they did, the author says, because in a manner of speaking, they were looking past their present reality to the future reality of what they knew that God was going to do. And they held fast in faith. You continue on throughout the rest of this chapter, and you see Abraham having enough faith to offer up Isaac, his only son, on the altar. He never actually sacrificed him. God stopped him from killing his own son, but he was fully prepared to. The scripture tells us, if you go back and look at verse 19, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So Abraham knew that God had promised all of this promises would come through his son Isaac. So he said, well, if God wants to take him, clearly he's going to raise him back from the dead. Even though, again, that is not something that anyone had seen happen up to that point. Yes, resurrections happened in the Bible, but not up to that point. No one had seen a resurrection, but Abraham had the faith to say, clearly that's what's going to happen because God made this promise about Isaac. We go on to see how Isaac had enough faith to pass on his spiritual lineage to his children, how Jacob had enough faith to pass on his blessings to his children and grandchildren. We see how Moses had enough faith to realize that he did not belong with the Egyptians, but he belonged with the people of God. Even though he could have lived in the lap of luxury in Egypt, he gave it up and he went to serve and be a slave with his people. We see how his faith led the people of Israel through something like the Passover, where they had enough faith to kill a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and receive salvation because God did not go and destroy them. We see how by faith Moses led the people through the Red Sea on dry land, and God drowned the Egyptian armies behind them. It continues on and it talks about how people like Joshua caused the walls of Jericho to fall down and led the people of Israel in the conquest of the land of Canaan. We see even mentioned here how, verse 31, by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. She had enough faith, even though she wasn't even a Jewish person, to say when the spies came to Jericho to check it out, look, I have faith that your God is going to give you the land that he promised. So I want to be on the winning side, even though I'm not really sure how all that works, right? It's probably a very primitive faith. She didn't know exactly what it meant to believe in God, but she knew, I'm trusting that God is going to do what he said he was going to do for your people, for your nation, and I want to be a part of that. So all of these things being listed here to make a point very clear to his readers that they are thinking about leaving their faith because it's hard and they're not seeing what maybe they hope to see happening in their life. That he says, look at all of these people from the Old Testament, which these Jewish Christians would know all about this, right? They've known been taught the Old Testament from the time that they were small children. He said, look at all these people from the Old Testament who continued to persevere in their faith, even when it did not look exactly the way that they thought it should look, even when their circumstances of their life did not go exactly the way they thought it was going to go when they first signed up, and see how God blessed them because of their faith. If they did not have that faith, they would not have been in the place where God could bless them. That is the encouragement he's trying to give his readers through this long list of people. not to look to them as some sort of heroes. God is the true hero. But to show how, when they persevered in faith, even when it did not look great for them, God was able to use that faith and turn it around into a blessing. So we should take a lesson from this to do the same. When we are placing our faith in Christ, things may not always turn out the way that we thought it was going to go. God does not always take us down the path that we thought we should be on. But if it were not for our faith, we would not experience the full blessings of what God is trying to do in our life. I hope and pray that something said here today ministered to your heart, and I hope and pray that you share it with those around you. Thank you, and God bless.